Hey baddies, welcome back to Bad Therapy episode 51. We have a very special guest for you tonight.
He's a spiritual medium. He helps people connect with their crossed over loved ones and better understand the afterlife.
Featured in Cosmopolitan, Fox News, The Today Show, Entertainment Tonight. He's got some accolades, so give it up for Travis, our special guest.
I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for having me. My name is Travis. I'm a medium. And what that means is that I connect to the unseen world. So that's guides, angels, and loved ones who have departed. I discovered this when I was very young. My granny and I would play with the Ouija board. And true story, my mom hates it when I talk about this. But when my granny would pull out the Ouija board, things would get kind of loud for me. And so I told her when I was six, I was like, Granny, when we pull out the Ouija board, everything feels so loud. And she goes, I know. And she knew. And so it wasn't until I was a little bit older, like in my 20s, where I kind of started to connect what this was. I kind of equate it to being gay. Like I didn't know that I was different until one day I was like, oh, that's what that is.
That makes sense.
Same thing with dead people. I was like, I didn't know that. Everybody did that.
You knew something, but you hadn't put the pieces together. I was going to ask, like, how you first discovered that you had this gift and, like, what it was like and how it came through to you. So when you say it gets loud, like, what
does that mean?
Yeah. So I mostly process non-physical energy through seeing, hearing, and feeling. Okay. So when I see, I get little pictures in my head or little flashes. When I hear, I'll get this really high-pitched ringing, and then that ringing will kind of translate.
I'm so sorry. The light. No, he was literally just talking about energy, too. That's honestly crazy.
Well, if this one starts freaking out, then we know for sure.
Okay, I'm so sorry.
So sorry.
You better freak out.
So when I hear, I'll get a high-pitched ringing in my ear, and then my brain and my other senses will kind of make sense of, like, what that is, or it'll translate it. And then when I will feel how somebody departed, or I'll feel the connection that they had with the person that I'm reading for. I've always been very sensitive. I've always experienced what I thought was anxiety and depression. And what I learned as I was kind of going through my journey of understanding more of who I am was that a lot of what I was experiencing was being able to connect to energy that I couldn't see, hear, or feel with my physical senses. So, the first time I ever gave a reading or I had delivered messages from someone who had crossed over was the first time in my life I ever felt whole and complete. And it happened with a friend. I was drinking and reading her tarot cards, which I don't recommend drinking and divinating.
I love that.
And I knew nothing about her departed loved ones. And just all of this information started kind of flooding through about her grandfather who had departed. Yeah. And the first time I'd ever given a reading professionally, I'd started my journey on TikTok in 2020. And I was doing tarot readings at the time. And I was like, I'm not connecting to spirits. I'm not a medium. I'm just going to read these little cards and tell people where their man is. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so when I was reading for somebody, I kept hearing the name Buck over and over and over again.
Like just in your head?
In my head. And I was like, hey, quick question. Who's Buck for you? And then she starts crying. She goes, oh my God, that's my uncle that died like 2 weeks ago.
That's crazy. Wow.
I was like kind of tripping out. And it wasn't a very long connection. It was only just a few minutes, little bits of information. But then, you know, that kind of like does something to you, right? Because it's this kind of this culmination of experiences that you have growing up. And then you're at this moment where something comes through so clear. You know, I'm not drunk. I'm sober at this time.
Yeah.
I have no intention of being a medium. And so I asked spirit or God, I said, you know, if this is something I'm meant to be doing, I need a sign. And it's got to be big and it's got to be flashy. So I live in Washington State, and this is about November, and I went for a nature walk, and I am not a nature girly. That is not my journey.
Not for you.
Mm-mm, I'm an avid indoorsman.
I love that.
But I went for like a walk through the woods. I was like, I'm just going to go for a walk, and I'm taking this walk, and I just stop and write on my path is a buck.
Which, that doesn't happen.
No. I mean, I like looked up, I was like, how common are bucks in Washington? And they're there. They don't stop in front
of
you.
They don't go right in front of people like that, though.
No, no. It was crazy.
Considering the fact that you had just heard buck and then asked for a sign.
Yes.
It's almost like undeniable at that point, because I'm sure there's a part of you that like wants to be like, This isn't real. I don't really feel like this. Or like, I mean, that's how I would feel at least, because it's got to be so overwhelming. And when you relate that to the anxiety and everything that you were feeling, it's because like you couldn't put your finger on what it was.
Yeah.
It had to be so relieving to feel like it was
like reassuring
who you were.
Yeah. And it was one of those things where I was like, am I like losing my damn mind?
No, literally.
What is happening?
Probably a little. I mean, we all are.
Probably something you can't really like talk to anybody about it. Like no one would understand.
No.
Because people don't experience things like that.
The only time I'd ever talked about it or it was ever affirmed for me was that one time with my grandmother. But then in 2017, I went and saw my first psychic and I walked in and the first words out of her mouth was, oh my God, you are so psychic.
Wow.
That's so
and
cool.
I was like, okay, whatever, you tell that to everybody.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But we sat down and I have a grandmother, not my granny, that's my dad's mom, my mom's mom, my Nan-Nan, she departed a year prior and we had a really rough relationship. And before she departed, she left a note for me and this same medium who affirmed what I was and who I am, talked about that note and my grandmother and her departure and our relationship. And I was like, damn.
That's insane.
Maybe this bitch is right.
Like, how could you know?
So I have a question. Is this something because your granny, is that who your dad's? Okay. She affirmed you by saying, like, she just understood. Does the gift kind of run in the family or are you...
So here's what's funny. There's like stories now that like I'm kind of out with this and my family knows, they're like, oh yeah, well, you know, granny used to carry crystals in her pocket. Your Nan-Nan, my mom's mom, she used to go see psychics and love to read tarot cards. And I'm
so
like,
now that you're out of the spiritual closet, they're like,
totally. It was like, it's like when I came out like as a gay man, they were like, well, you know, your uncle. It's like that,
it's
right?
Association, yeah, absolutely.
It's the same thing, same thing.
Do you feel like your gift, like something that you can grow, like you go to the gym to bench press to get stronger? How do you grow and strengthen this gift, or is it just there?
Yeah, like in the beginning when you first experienced it, you said that it was kind of a slow burn to getting to where you are now. Was it something that you had to kind of practice and, I don't know what the word is, like grow?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, I think of it as an ability. Mm-hmm. I think that there's a lot of people that can do what I do. I think that what I choose to do with it and helping people, that's the gift.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I think it's an ability, and like any other ability, I think there are some people who are just naturally inclined with a certain skill set, like singing or playing sports.
No doubt.
Not I, but there are people.
Yeah.
And then there are some people who just have to just work at it. But it's like anything else. You know, I have to take care of myself first and foremost.
Right.
I have to make sure that I'm filling myself up, and what I do with the overflow of myself being full is what I give to the world.
I love that.
And thank you. Yeah. And so it took me a while to learn that.
Yeah. Well, it's
but
tough.
Yeah. But there's, you know, there's schools for mediumship.
Really? Where,
yes. There's a school out in the UK called the Arthur Findlay College. And they are.
I love. That is so cool.
They're the like oldest mediumship college in the world. And they teach.
That sounds like Harry Potter.
Yeah. Kind of, it's like Hogwarts.
Yeah.
But it's real.
I want to go there. Yeah. They don't want me.
And honey, those are like some strict, like old school mediums. Like you better be like damn near digging up the social security number of the dead person that you're reading for.
Wow.
Which I love though. I love
it's
that.
Legit, yeah.
And I think it's really cool. Like you said, your gift is to give to people. And I actually saw not a medium, but a very spiritual coach for a long time who was very invested in meditating and manifestation. And his like soul mantra was everyone has a soul gift, like your divine gift. If you can hone in on that and share that with the world, you will be infinitely happy.
Yeah, I believe that. I believe that all of our souls come here with some type of purpose. And I don't mean like a purpose from like a capitalistic standpoint, right? I mean something that we're here to do
deeper,
and share.
How to serve, you know, humanity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I 100% feel that in my soul, because I've always felt like a healer in like a sense. So like I can see that, and that's when I feel the most happy. And that's kind of what spawned the podcast, as I feel like we started it to just giggle with each other. And then we both ended up giving advice to people, and like that's kind of what we built it on, is like helping people.
Yeah.
So
that's incredible.
Yeah.
So what does it look like to communicate with a spirit?
So here's the thing for me, and every medium is different. Every medium receives differently. Every medium shares and experiences differently. For me, when I'm reading for someone or I'm connecting with spirit, my heart will start to race really fast. My body will get kind of tingly. And then I'll just start to feel different things throughout my body. It's not painful. I think that's like one of the biggest kind of things you'd hear, like, oh my God, I'm feeling that your loved one had a heart attack. Well, I'm not physically having a heart attack.
Right.
They're just letting
signs.
Me know.
Yeah.
It's very pleasant. Honestly, I feel like after a reading or an event, I can run a marathon because it's so much energy.
Yeah.
There's so much energy. Wow. That's the time in my life where I'm not questioning who I am. I feel whole, like I said earlier.
That is so cool.
And I feel fully present, like my whole self is in it.
Do you have to like lock into a specific mindset, or how do you initiate?
Yeah, like how do you call in or start?
Can you control it, or is there times where you're just like having a cup of coffee?
Oh yeah, like I'm in like the Target frozen food section.
Yeah,
I'm like, over here.
You're like, oh.
No. So for me, it's kind of like a radio, right? Like a radio can always be receiving. I can't turn it off. I can turn it down.
Okay.
So like if I'm out in public, like if I'm out like dancing, although there was this one time I was out dancing at this club in Seattle. I love going out dancing. I don't drink, I'm sober, but I love a night out dancing. And I'm dancing with my friends, and then I just happen to like get this like nudge to look over, and I see this guy, and he's dancing, having the best time. And I just like, just me and my 5'8" self just bounce right on over, and I like grab the little necklace around his neck, and I was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I was just so drawn to this. Who did this belong to? Was this a partner for you? And he goes, yeah, and he died like 2 months ago.
Oh
so like, God. I try not to do stuff like that.
It probably is meaningful to some people, like in a sense, like comfort, I don't know.
Yeah, I try not to do stuff like that because, you know.
You never know.
Not on a dance club, but.
Maybe not.
I don't really want to think about that right now.
That's a thank good you point. So much.
But when it overwhelms you, it overwhelms you.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, we had a great conversation and it was really lovely. But, you know, for the most part, though, when I'm tuning in, I do what's called raising my vibration, which is where I just take a couple of deep breaths. I focus on expanding my energy out, and I pretty much just open myself up. But I'm like, hey,
whatever wants to come,
who
through.
Wants to talk?
Yeah. Come on in.
Yeah. Come say hi.
I love it.
With all of the energy that you feel as you're going through your day to day, and when you're doing readings for people and speaking with spirits and communicating to the other side, have you ever had any negative experiences or interacted with like something maybe not so nice or positive?
Scary.
Yeah. Scary.
I tend to not focus myself in that direction. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a big believer in the law of attraction, and I think we just attract what we are emitting out into the world. And so for me, and just the way that I tend to focus, I've never attracted anything like that. Now, I have been in places where there's a lot of just energy. It's usually hotels and hospitals. Yeah, the Whitney Peak where I'm staying, you know, where there's just a lot of energy. And so I'm just like, okay, thank you so much. Goodbye.
Yeah, yeah.
And then just, you know, white light all around me.
You can control that.
Yeah. I'm not saying it's not out there. It certainly is. Everything in the universe is balanced, but it's not something I worry about.
Is it like scary when it does happen, or you've learned to control it so like it doesn't affect you? Because I would imagine if I, even like a positive spirit or like a good, happy soul that I, if like I saw a soul standing in front of me, I feel like that would be frightening. Was it frightening ever to you experiencing that? Or did it always, because you said it feels calming almost, or you have?
Never. It's never scared me.
Okay.
Even when I was a kid, I mean, I had trouble sleeping in my room as a kid, and I would, you know, be in my parents' bed quite a bit. And I think maybe that would be the only time I can recall where I was feeling something, but I just didn't know what it was.
Right.
But no, even when I started connecting and kind of diving in, I've never been afraid. But, you know, I kind of look at it this way. You know, my energetic protection's pretty tight. You know, I focus on what I want to connect with.
Yeah.
But I equate it's like getting into a car. You know, I put on my seatbelt. I don't anticipate having an accident.
Right. You're not driving 100 miles an hour.
Yeah, but my seatbelt's on.
Yeah.
You know?
Do you think spirits have the ability to affect us in our life? Like, can they control, can they move a cup? Can they hurt us? Can they give us a sign? What does that look like?
I don't believe that what we would refer to as spirits, so those who have departed and those souls that have crossed over can harm us. If that were true, I don't think we would have white people.
For sure. That was a good one.
But I do believe that they can, you know, affect things like the electricity or nudge things to kind of get our attention. Now, they won't interfere on our free will.
Yeah.
We all have free will, and that is something that spirit knows, understands, and respects. So that I don't believe that. But I do, I see things move in my home, or I'll have clients who will, you know, we'll get on our reading and they'll be like, I've got the craziest thing to tell you. And yeah. I'm like, yeah, no, try me. I talk to dead people and I'm in my 30s and I'm dating. There is nothing you can surprise me with.
You literally cannot scare me. Well, that's good to know, because I think a lot of fear around this topic comes from obviously horror movies and a bunch of bullshit that shows, you know, spirits like throwing a plate across the room and it's slamming into your head. And there's a lot of negative stigma around spirits and how they can affect you. So I think it's probably relieving to people to hear that really they can't hurt you or affect you in any way that you wouldn't allow them to.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I think the thing is that if you walk around the world terrified that something in non-physical is going to hurt you, then, you know, you're kind of inviting that in.
Yeah.
You know, I've never believed that to be true, at least for me. But, you know, I think there is a lot of just misportrayal of mediumship and what it is in the spirit world for entertainment, right? Yeah,
absolutely.
Because it's sexy. It's hot. Like, ooh, my house is haunted. Yeah.
So I have a question.
Yeah.
Where do we go when we die? There's clearly life after death if spirits are around and you can communicate with them. So do you know what happens when we die? Is it different per person, per spirit? Are there different places that they go? Like, what can you tell us about what you know about this topic?
The best answer I have for you, and I don't pretend to know a whole lot about what happens when we pass. You know, there are things I believe. There's very few things I'll tell you I know this.
Yeah.
But with our departures, the best way that I can describe it is that we are energy before we come into this physical vessel. That energy exists at a frequency. Mm-hmm. Then we're in this physical vessel. We're in this human experience existing at just a lower, more dense frequency. And then we depart this physical vessel as that energy and return back to that higher frequency. Mm-hmm. I equate it to things like music or color. Even emotions have a frequency to them. Mm-hmm. So I think that, you know, what we think of as heaven is really just this frequency of love, and not love in the romantic sense, but love is in just that state of being.
Like the frequency of
love. And peace.
Yeah. Safety and understanding and calm.
And I totally understand that like concept of we are energy, and when we're like, this is just our suit that we're given to like have our soul kind of like walk through life. And this is kind of silly, but when my dog died, I was holding him when he passed away, and I legitimately felt like I knew when he was gone because he wasn't moving. He was asleep. So like I felt his energy leave and he was just like a brick after that.
After
and
that,
it was,
it's just the body.
It was the closest experience I've had like holding death. And it was just so interesting because I didn't know where the energy went. Like I couldn't feel that, but I could feel it leave.
Yeah.
And so I definitely know that is.
I mean, energy cannot be created or destroyed. That's a scientific law.
Yeah.
Like for the haters.
You're so scientific.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I think that there's just so little that we understand about consciousness.
Yeah.
And I think that we're getting there. There's some really great projects that are out there, like the telepathy tapes and a lot of studies that are being done to really dive into what is consciousness? Is that our soul? Is that the truest essence of who we are? But beyond that, is consciousness something greater that connects all of us? Like, is that what God is? You know, and I don't know those answers, and I don't pretend to know. Yeah. I know what I believe for myself.
Yeah.
And the thing that I believe in the most is that when we depart these physical vessels, we just return back to that frequency of love. And it's more than just a physical place. I feel like a physical place would be so limiting.
Absolutely. When I think of like, I was raised Catholic. So I imagined a white bald man sitting on the chair in the sky, unlimited ice cream. And like, that's not real. That's the only thing that humans have the capacity to picture is heaven.
Yeah.
But I think it's very reassuring to know that just because it's not heaven that you can picture in your head and your soul's going to go up there and there's going to be pearly gates that open, your energy is still going to continue to flow through this universe no matter what.
Yeah. And I think if somebody does believe in a physical place, beautiful.
Yeah.
Let them.
And I imagine it kind of like when people say that, you know, they're in the hospital and they're sick and then they say they have experiences or they get hurt and that they did die and they went somewhere and they said they felt just pure peace and like the just warmth of wherever they were, wherever their spirit energy went until, you know, it returned back into the physical mm-hmm. body. And they just say that it was just, they just felt like love is the best way to put it.
Yeah. And I think for, you know, for me, that's kind of like the best thing I've come up with,
yeah.
with giving, you know, I've done a couple thousand readings at this point and, you know, tons of events. And I feel the same way every time. It's just this feeling of love that no drug or food or sex has ever given me.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Do you think how you act on earth, how you treat people, mm-hmm. Your energy affects how your energy is in the afterlife? Because I think there's a lot of people that say, you know, be good because God's watching. Yeah. And there's some people that say just be good because you should be good.
We want that so bad. We want that so bad to have that kind of that condition of you better behave mm-hmm. and be good or else. Right? This is very controversial. And so I understand if this is sensitive for anybody watching. I believe that our soul is here to learn and to grow. I believe that we are given free will. I believe that the core of who we are is not harmful or mean or malicious, but I do believe as humans we have free will and we make some pretty shitty decisions sometimes.
Yeah.
I don't believe that that negatively impacts us when we depart this earth. I believe that our soul learns from it, our soul grows from it. Mm-hmm. How that happens, mm-hmm. jury's still out.
Right.
But I've never met a soul who is punished for something that they did here.
Yeah.
And I honestly, as controversial as that is, I think that's beautiful because I think that people that act good just because they think that that's their ticket into heaven, you know, I don't necessarily know that that's a reason to be a good person. Good. Yeah.
Well, and how many people do you know that act like good people that really are just punishing themselves?
Totally.
100%. I'm not saying go out and be a deviant.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, you know, you're not going to go to hell if you tell someone to fuck off if you're having a bad day.
The hypocrisy in that is, I think in a lot of organized religion, there's people that say, my good is the only good that will get you into heaven. Mm-hmm. And they do a lot of what is considered negative or bad things that's not bad for them. And they want you to be their version of good. I could see how that doesn't translate into real energy in a real afterlife.
Yeah, it doesn't. And I think what's important is authenticity.
Yeah.
And integrity.
Being a spiritual medium, I feel like it's not controversial, but in a sense mm-hmm. it is, because I feel like there are a lot of people that are non-believers or mm-hmm. very skeptical of mm-hmm. whether or not it's real or not. How do you deal with that? And like, what do you have to say to those people that don't believe?
So the thing with skepticism is I think it's very healthy, especially when you have somebody who you don't know who's like, I can channel your departed loved one.
I right. see dead people.
You know, yeah. And that's a big, you know, death is a big topic. Mm-hmm. It's not like light subject matter, right? And so when it comes to things like skepticism, I welcome it. You know, the thing is that I'm not here to prove anything. Right. My job is not to have people believe in how wonderful and great I am.
Yeah.
My job is simply just to expand my energy and share messages with as little of me in there as possible and just share them in a way that connects with people. If somebody is skeptical, I think that's great. I'm not really here to prove anything, and it's not really my job to.
Yeah, absolutely. That's not why you were given this gift.
Yeah, and I think that if somebody is skeptical, I would just say, you know, I think just maybe get a little curious. Mm-hmm. Ask yourself maybe, like, why do you think that? Mm-hmm. You know, I know that there's a lot of material science, and we live in a very material science world, but there are so many things that we just can't explain, and we can't explain it with right, science.
Like, how did we get here? You know what I'm saying? Like, there's so much about life that we don't understand that we can't answer. I think it's almost crazy to not believe that there could be something as crazy as being able to communicate or having, you know, psychic abilities, or like people that might believe in God, but then they don't believe in, you know, like, I just mm-hmm. feel like there's so much contradiction in that.
Go outside and look up in the sky. It's like,
yeah, or like, just explain to me where we came from, how we got here, where we, like, there's just so much we don't know. And there's so much that happens that's unexplainable. And we kind of just, like you said, we're very scientific about it, like very logical. We have to have a reason for everything and like why this happened. And there's just some things that, to me, I've always viewed it as like anything could be possible because there's so much that we can't explain as it is.
Yeah. And I think that's some of the beauty in it and, you know, not being able to explain it. And that's really like the true gift of surrender is like, I can't explain why this happens. I don't know. Yeah. Why I have this ability and why this is my path, but I embrace it. I think that, you know, there, like you were saying, there is so much that we just don't know or understand that we can't quantify. Like, we haven't proven what consciousness is, but we know that it exists.
It exists.
And I was going to say, too, I think the reason that people may be skeptical is because I think it's hard for people to believe in something that they can't experience themselves. So if you've never, if they've never had any otherworldly experience happen to them, it's hard for them to understand that it could happen to somebody else. Kind of like consciousness, we're all conscious, so we all know it exists. We don't know why, but like, we believe it because like, you can't deny it, you know?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I can't see gravity, but I know it's there.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. You know, but I think the thing, and what's important for me as a medium is that I work as evidentially as I possibly can. So, you know, I try to get, you know, the relationship with the person that's departed, the names, the things I would have no way of knowing that I can't Google, you know, and, you know, and if that's not enough, that's okay. You know, my job with mediumship, it's, yes, it's fun. Yes, it's exciting. I get to do amazing, cool things like little inner child Travis just loves throwing on a sparkly jacket and doing a live show.
Love it.
But or sparkly shoes.
Or sparkly shoes or do fun podcasts like this. But at the end of the day, it's about healing.
Yeah.
And it's about helping people, whether that's helping people feel more connected to those who have departed or feeling more connected to themselves. Yeah. So, you know, skepticism, it's going to be there. And listen, I would be amiss to say that there aren't charlatans or people who are ill-intentioned in this field.
Right.
But the thing is that that exists in every field.
Everything.
And I think what's so powerful, I heard on another podcast, Kai Dickens, who did the Telepathy Tapes podcast, she had said there's only charlatans and grifters because they know that what they're trying to grift exists and is real.
Absolutely.
And so if this wasn't real, I don't believe there would be people trying to knock it off or cheapen it.
That would be just a lot of people trying to create something that doesn't exist.
Yes.
Like, what, are you guys all in on the secret? And like, you
and
know
I,
what I mean?
I think the example that was used was, you know, like fake handbags.
Yeah.
Fake ones exist because real ones exist.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's interesting take on that. I've never thought of it that
way. Yeah, but I mean, it makes sense, honestly. I think the number one universal fear is the fear of death.
Yeah.
Do you fear death?
I mean, I don't want to die right now, but I'm not afraid of it.
Do you think your connection to the other side has given you a little bit of peace when it comes to death?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, 100%. I think if more people could experience, to have like an idea of what happens, maybe like it would bring people peace.
People are afraid of nothing.
Yeah, because
they don't know.
People
are afraid of oblivion.
Yeah, and I mean, the thing is that even just in our own kind of universe that we witness, there's no such thing as nothingness in our universe. Right. Our universe abhors a vacuum.
Yeah.
You know, now we're finding out that black holes, what we thought was just empty space, is not actually empty space. Yeah. It's a doorway into another frame of space
dimension,
and time.
Yeah.
When I need confirmation of something, I look to nature for things.
Yeah.
Because I think it's a beautiful reflection back of our experience here. Just like our own growth. You know, our own universe is still expanding. Therefore, like, we don't get to be done expanding.
Yeah.
This is just a very quick physical experience that we get to have comparison to what's next.
You mentioned black holes leading into a different space, and that made me think of different dimensions. And I guess when I think of a spirit kind of walking around the room with us right now, they're in a different dimension. I don't know if that's accurate or not.
Frequency.
So is a dimension a frequency?
Could be, yes.
Okay.
Absolutely. I think, you know, when we talk about frequency, I like to equate it to music. Mm-hmm. And so I just call myself a radio. Mm-hmm. A radio, kids, was something we used to have that we listened to music. but I think of myself as a radio where, you know, I'm just, for whatever reason, in my brain can tune myself just to a different frequency.
Yeah.
I'm actually having my brain studied.
Yeah.
That's
which
cool.
I'm really excited.
Wait, send us then.
They're going to put like a little cap on my head and test and see like what happens to my
brain when you're doing a reading.
Ooh. So, you know, what we're finding about psychic abilities and just, you know, extrasensory ability is that it is something that's happening in the brain.
Yeah.
It's something that the brain is doing. I'm so not a science guy, but in our frontal lobe, like the part of our brain that helps with like our motor function and all of that.
Right.
That's the part of our brain that has that kind of like that switch where we kind of learn to turn off our ability to connect.
Wow.
That develops as that frontal lobe develops. So think about when we're kids, we have this imagination.
Yes.
We sense spirit. Think about how many times you hear kids that talk about their past lives or they see their departed loved ones.
I've heard about that, kids being much more sensitive to being able to perceive that type of stuff. Yeah. Because I didn't realize it was a blockage in the... That makes sense, though.
It's just something that we develop to kind of, like, turn it off. Because if you think about it, we don't want to be bombarded by that.
Too much.
Yeah. But we can learn how to turn that off or quiet it down. And some people's brains are just developed. I do believe you can learn how to connect mediumistically if you aren't born that way.
Yeah.
So how would you say, because not to talk about me, because this is about
Let's you, talk about you.
I've had very strange experiences where, like, I have seen ghosts standing at the bottom of my bed. Mm-hmm. I have talked to people in my dreams and seen the future in my dreams and, like, things that I can't explain. I feel like as I've gotten older, I've lost that ability a little bit. And I'm like, I don't know. Like, it's been a really long time since I've had an experience. And I've always wondered, like,
how do I get it back?
You didn't lose it. It's still there. There's still a neural pathway that's developed there. It's kind of like riding a bike. You know, if you've ridden a bike before and you haven't ridden one for a long time, how easy is it just to get back on the bike?
You can figure it out.
It might be wobbly at first, but you can get back on, right?
Yeah.
Versus where if you had never done that, that might be a little bit of a different story. But, you know, the best way to kind of get back into the swing of that, meditation is great. Anything creative, anything that just opens up the mind.
Yeah.
So, like, coloring, drawing.
Music.
Creativity.
Music.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, it's crazy because there was a study done that directly correlated the frontal lobe and frontal lobe development with empathy, sympathy, and intelligence.
Yeah.
People with less developed frontal lobes were way more likely to be less empathetic and less intelligent.
Wow.
And so that makes so much sense in regards to frontal lobe development.
Well, and I was, and I was also just asking him off camera if he felt like he was a more sensitive person because of his ability and because it makes him more sensitive to what's like the energy around him and whatnot. And I feel like that could also make sense with the frontal lobe being a little bit more sensitive and adept to what you're feeling. One of the topics that we really like to touch on this podcast, because we're firm believers in, like you said, the law of attraction, kind of like your reality, what you see is what you get type of thing. And you can control your own reality. So that leads me to manifestation. What is your take on manifestation? Is it real? How do you really hone in, and how do you actually manifest what you want?
Oh, I love this question so much. So I believe that we are always manifesting, consciously or subconsciously, and that manifestation is simply just working with the energy of the universe to create our life. And I think that manifestation, you know, sometimes people are like, oh, that's so woo, or that's so this or that. But I think manifestation is simply just the conscious act of shaping how you want your life to look. You know, law of attraction for me, I rumbled with law of attraction for a long time because law of attraction requires you to kind of take accountability for your life.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which I used to think that law of attraction manifestation was a bunch of bullshit. I read The Secret and I was like, cool, I'm going to think of $100,000 in my mailbox tomorrow and it's going to be there.
And it's going to show up.
And it didn't. But I think, you know, law of attraction, manifestation, it's always working with us, never against us, never for us, just with us. Those things are inherently neutral. It's like gravity. And I don't think you necessarily need a, you know, like, we don't have classes to learn how to work with gravity. With law of attraction and manifestation, you know, it's something that we're just, we're always doing. Now, if you're not liking what you're getting, then that's a good opportunity to kind of start to shift things.
Or pay attention to what you're saying or thinking, because I think a lot of the times I'm very guilty of this. I'm a very inherently, I don't want to say like negative, because I don't think I'm negative, but I'm very much like looking at the side of things that's maybe not the most positive sometimes, just as like a maybe a defense mechanism, or I don't know. Like, and I think that I have a tendency to kind of draw in the opposite of what I'm wanting just by thinking it's going to be bad, or and not even consciously aware that I'm doing this sometimes. And I have to catch myself. And then when we first started the podcast, we would sit and we would manifest, just, you know, we have our little ritual that we would do. And yeah, I'm a firm believer that if you put intention into the words and the thoughts that you you think and you say, that it will affect your life.
And there's a lot of neuroscientists that are studying manifestation and law of attraction. And, you know, why do these things work? Mm-hmm. And one of the biggest things is that whatever we're focusing on, yes, subconsciously or consciously, we're sending a little signal to our whole being. Mm-hmm. And then our whole being is kind of getting in on navigating us towards those things that we're constantly thinking about, but not only thinking about, the things that we have the strongest emotion about.
Yeah.
For me, manifestation, I thought it was about getting stuff, and stuff is great. I love stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm here for a whole physical experience.
Right.
But for me, manifestation, it's not about getting stuff. It's who do I get to become in order to receive the things that I am wanting and receive it fully and feel worthy of it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we talked about this on a previous podcast, but it's like, if you were given the things that you want right now as the person you are right now, would you be able to handle that, or would you ruin it? Because we think back to for an example, when we were 20, mm-hmm, we would have ruined anything good that was given to us because we just weren't the healed, experienced,
mature
people that we are now. And so I think that is a lot to do with it too, as we grow and as we heal ourselves,
yeah,
spiritually, mentally, physically, emotionally, those things kind of find you.
I'm so with you.
Yeah.
I'm not on that. I'm so with you. And I think that that's the thing with manifestation. Sometimes people sit and they approach it like a wish list.
Yeah.
Yes. Like, I want this thing and this thing, and if I get these things, then I'm going to be happy. And I think the biggest thing that I've learned through manifestation and working with law of attraction is that I've got to be happy now.
Yes. You have to live in it.
I have to find a way to bring my whole self here and be happy now. And then those things get to come.
Absolutely.
And the thing is that, you know, with one of my favorite spiritual teachers, Abraham Hicks, says, you know, you wouldn't want every single meal that you're going to eat for your entire life in one sitting.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're going to want to enjoy each one and savor it. You know, and I have clients that I'll work with, and, you know, and I'll ask them, like, what do you want? Because, you know, I do a lot of mediumship, but we also dive into manifestation and, mm-hmm, helping people kind of shift their life as well. Multifaceted.
You are.
And, you know, the thing is, I ask them, I'm like, what do you want? They're like, nothing. I'm happy. And I'm like, amazing. Dig deeper. Like, you're just never going to be hungry again.
Never going to want anything else.
Yeah. Yeah, you're never going to, you know, we're here to expand and to grow and to, mm-hmm, experience. That doesn't have to be physical things.
Yeah.
It can be emotional things. Some of the best things that I've manifested weren't even physical things. They were feelings. They were states of being.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that. I mean, you can't, and we get a lot of skeptical haters when we talk about manifestation, saying, like, you can't manifest $1 million. And I'm like, no, but I can manifest the mindset, the state of being, the life that creates that.
Yeah.
And I feel like people almost get mad that you're trying to wish upon a star, but that's just not what it is.
Do you know why they get mad?
Why?
I'm ready for the hate comments.
Come on.
Bring them. DM
Bring it
me.
On.
No, I think that people, like, the reason why I got mad when I read The Secret, and I got mad, I threw that book. I was like, screw this book. At that time, I was in and out of abusive relationships. I had unstable housing. I was working in a nightclub to pay bills. Mm-hmm. You know, I barely graduated out of high school. I had a drinking problem, drug use. You know, I desperately wanted to change my life. And you've got this book that's saying your life can be different and you get to choose it.
Yeah.
I'm like,
fuck you.
What do you mean? Mm-hmm. But then one day I just got so tired of my own shit. And I sat down and I asked myself, and I'd never asked myself what I wanted. I was always doing what I thought other people wanted me to do.
Right.
That's going to surprise you, Mom. I know. but I was always doing the things that I thought other people wanted from me. And I sat down, I was like, what do I want? And I sat down in my living room. This was in 2020. And I sat down and I wrote, I want to be happy. I want time freedom. I want money freedom. I want to help people.
Yeah.
No clue what that would look like. I was in the beauty industry for 17 years.
Totally.
I'm hawking lipsticks at Ulta. You know, I'm like, I was making, you know, I was making okay salary, but, you know, I was still living paycheck to paycheck.
You weren't giving your gift to the world.
No. Yeah. And then, you know, and then one day my life just unfolded in this way where now I get to travel and do these amazing events. But it wasn't this like overnight thing. Mm-hmm. I told the universe, here's what I want. Yeah. And the universe was like, cool. Here's all the things you've got to get out of the way.
Mm-hmm. Here's what you
can
do.
Receive that. And I think people get frustrated with manifestation and law of attraction because they'll write down what they want. And everybody has desires.
Mm-hmm.
everybody believes those desires are possible. Mm-hmm. And that's why they get mad, because their soul self knows it is possible, but their human self is resisting it. And that's why they're mad. They know they can have what they want. They're just not letting themselves have it.
They know they're in the way. Yes. And like there's so much accountability that comes with manifestation, because in order to manifest the life you want, you have to take accountability for the life that you have.
Yeah.
You have to be able to look yourself in the mirror and face the things about yourself that might need to change. And I think that changes... not only scary, but really hard, especially when it, like you said, it takes taking accountability and doing the things that make you uncomfortable and the things that you probably don't want to do.
Yeah. And we have very real things in the world that are barriers, right? Like we have, you know, we have misogyny and we have racial inequality, and we do have things that are very real barriers. And I would be amiss to say that those things don't exist.
And
right?
don't affect it. Yeah.
And don't affect it. It absolutely does. Somebody might be starting a little bit further ahead. Somebody might be starting further back.
It's free will.
And the same thing can be said about the trauma that we have, right? So, you know, we could want the same things, but if we have different trauma or different things that we're holding on to, our journey to get there might look different, and that's okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Everybody's journey is going to be unique and different, and there's no like one clear-cut direct path to getting to where you want to go. But the second that I learned, I was like, okay, if I can just shift the way that I feel about myself, life will open up.
I think you said something that really stuck with me about how you got sick of your own shit.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's, you know, people in our life sometimes where it's like you watch them suffer and you watch them be unhappy, and you want them to change things for themselves. And you're like, why wouldn't you just want to shake them? Why don't you change it? You can so clearly see that they're standing in their own way. But I really think you have to get sick and tired of your own shit in order to actually change and for manifestation to work with you in your favor.
Yeah, to where it's not like pulling you by your hair.
Right.
Because there's two ways. There's the path of most allowing and there's the path of most resistance.
Absolutely.
And we are actively choosing.
And I think it's like changing your mindset is like, it is not simple, but it is in the sense of like, if, you know, people get mad because manifesting seems too easy and there's so much that you have to do to change. And that's true. But there's also things that you can do every day, like words of affirmation for yourself or, you know, just like saying positive thoughts or changing the way you frame things when you're having negative thoughts to kind of guide yourself and almost like retrain your brain to be more positive, to help change how you feel about yourself, to help allow the energy that you're wanting to come to you.
Can I offer a reframe on something?
Yes.
So we have this thing with negative thoughts and positive thoughts. I want to offer the reframe of low vibration or high vibration, thinking of it in terms of frequency. So a thought that feels low vibrational, like grief or sadness, might be appropriate depending on the situation. I think sometimes what happens is especially in manifestation culture, we kind of poo-poo the negative thoughts. Mm-hmm. And the universe doesn't want us to just be positive all of the time. We're only being asked to be authentic with where we are. And I think that if we can be authentic with where we are, let's just say you're having a horrible shit day. It's been awful. There's nothing you can do to get out of it, right? I think the best thing that we can do is just say, today sucks. Mm-hmm. I'm not feeling it today. I feel gross. But I'm willing to see this differently.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of what in my mind I was getting at. Like, bars. Instead of just, mic drop.
Bars.
I think instead of like, oh, like, fuck this, fuck everything type of.
And it can be fuck this, fuck that, if that's how you feel.
But, like, having, like, the will to be still, like, hopeful for yourself. I don't know.
Yeah. The phrase, I'm willing to see this differently, has helped me help put myself into surrender the easiest. Mm-hmm. I think, honestly, sometimes when we're in pain or we're suffering, we're not looking necessarily to be jumping for joy. That's almost damn near impossible.
And not correct.
Because if you think about it in terms of frequency, if you're sitting at a lower vibrational frequency like grief or sadness, getting up to that high vibrational frequency of joy, that's going to feel almost impossible. Like, and here's what's going to happen. The person in bed is going to be scrolling. They're going to be miserable. They just got dumped. They're going to come across three people talking about manifestation. You can change your life. And they're going to chuck their fucking phone across the screen, right? So I think, you know, so anybody who's coming along, like, manifest your life is going to sound like nails on a chalkboard if they're not there to receive it. But I think the biggest thing for me that's helped me is when I am in those places of I'm feeling sad, I'm feeling insecure, saying I'm willing not to be.
Yeah.
You've given me such an insight into patience, because I've always been a person who doesn't necessarily feel very strong feelings, or maybe I just don't let myself. Mm-hmm. I'm not really a person who like allows myself to be sad or angry, or well, I guess angry, but
I'm like, what?
I've always had kind of a trigger for when people are emotional. I'm almost kind of like, get the fuck over it. Like, and I think that's just a defense mechanism for...
She's kind and caring and there for them, but she doesn't have that ability herself.
I'm like change your life. Change your fucking life, you know?
Yeah.
And that's not... You said it so well. It's not appropriate to feel a high vibrational feeling when you're dealing with grief.
When you're going through it.
Or depression or anxiety. And you can't just like... pull yourself out of it.
Guess what's going to happen if you try to force your way into feeling better? You're just going to feel shittier.
So what would your action item be for someone who is working on positive, I shouldn't say positive, someone who is working
shifting
on
your vibration.
That's it.
Just acknowledging where you are and then asking yourself, am I satisfied here?
Yeah.
You know, if you are kind of grumpy, you're not feeling well, you kind of have this like the world is out to get me mentality. If you're happy there, cool, rock on, sister.
Yeah.
But if you're not, and I would guess to say that the people that are arguing for their limitations or arguing that they can't change their life, they're only arguing because they know they're not happy.
Right.
Mm-hmm. They know that there's a different way. They just don't know how to get there.
Yeah.
They haven't been given the tools.
Absolutely.
And I think for me, surrender, it's a big word and it's hard to lean into sometimes, because surrender says, all right, you know what? I'm taking my hands off of this. I'm going to trust the outcome. I'm going to let universe, God, Cher, Britney Spears, whoever's in charge.
Britney.
To just definitely Britney. to just help guide me. And that phrase that I use, you know, I'm angry, I'm frustrated, whatever it is, I'm willing not to be. Especially when, you know, we talked about things like trauma, and I'm not a doctor, I just play one on TV. But you know, there are people with real trauma that keeps them stuck. And we know that trauma keeps people stuck.
Right.
Yeah. Right. And we know that that can keep people from living the life that they want to live, because there's something in their brain that's not clicking for them.
Yeah.
That simple phrase of I'm stuck in this loop, I'm willing not to be. The second we say that, the path forward lights up. The second that I was on my floor and I made that list and I was like, I don't love where I am. I'm sick of my shit, but I'm willing not to be sick of it. I'm willing to find a way to love myself. The path lit up and it was there, just one step in front of the other.
I think the most overwhelming part about that is thinking you have to make the changes all at once. And so I think one step at a time and just being willing and open for the change is like where people should start. Like for anybody that doesn't know where to start, if they're feeling so low or so down or so lost, just that alone, I feel like is so helpful.
What did you say? One more time. The I'm here, but I don't.
I'm feeling angry, or I'm feeling sad, or I'm sick of my shit, but I'm willing not to be.
I'm willing not to be. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's the first step. Like it feels so overwhelming, but if you're just willing to not be that.
And think about the relief that brings, right? Yeah. Sometimes when we're suffering, we're just looking for relief.
Yeah.
That's it.
And like the pressure that you put on yourself to change and to be better and to manifest and to do all the shit that everyone's telling you to do to change your life, and you know, you're not happy, and it just like it stacks up. And I think just to like relieve yourself of that, you don't have to change it right now. You just have to be willing to accept the change.
No, the thing is that we're never done.
Yeah.
The work is never done. We never get to this place where like, I've arrived. That's it. No more for me to do.
Yeah, I'm perfect.
Which, you know, I think depending on how you hear that, that can either be a little depressing or really inspiring.
Yeah. Yeah.
When I first heard it, I heard it and I was like, ooh.
It's a little overwhelming.
Great.
Like, fuck.
Yeah. But now I find so much freedom in that. You know, one of the things that I, you know, constantly work with is my own perfectionism. And I can sometimes be my biggest critic of myself. And so, you know, when that finally clicked for me of, you know, well, I'm never done. I'm never really arrive. I'm going to keep going. So what does it matter if I make a mistake here or there? As long as I'm showing up.
Yeah.
That's what matters.
Trying.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's it, right? And we don't get to feeling depressed or anxious or experiencing trauma. Like that doesn't just happen overnight.
Mm-hmm.
That's over a period of time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the thing that we can shift immediately is our vibration, our energy. We may not be able to fix or change our physical situation right away, but we can change how we feel right away.
So if you wanted to say change your vibration
right now, would you suggest meditation, or what are your thoughts on?
There's so many different ways to kind of to do that. For me, meditation was something that saved my life. I had woken up after a 3-day grapefruit and rose vodka.
Benderella,
honey. Benderella. It was 3 days of that. And I woke up on my living room floor, and I never had like ideations of ending my experience early, but I was on my floor and I was like, yeah, you know, if I just, it'd be fine.
It'd be okay.
Yeah, it'd be okay. And I heard this voice that said, Travis, if you keep drinking, you're going to die.
Jesus.
And so then I was like, okay, cool. What do I do? And I heard meditate. I'd never meditated before in my life. Didn't even know what I was doing. And I sat down and I took a couple of deep breaths. And all of a sudden, every negative, low vibrational, mean, nasty thing I'd ever said about myself or had been said to me just kind of came flooding in. But then after a few moments when I sat through that, it started to dissipate and it got quieter. And I meditate nearly every day.
Still,
yeah. It's something that just helps me just be in my body. It helps me kind of center, clear my energy.
Yeah.
It's not for everybody. Not everybody loves it. I think if you're not a meditator, if that feels daunting, just take 3 pages of paper and then just dump out whatever's in your head. Just scribble it. You know, I think there's so many different ways to meditate. We can go for walks in nature. We can dance around to music, and that can be meditative.
Right.
But if you want something quick, you know, that phrase I keep saying, I'm willing to see this differently, mm-hmm. is a very quick energy shift.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm a firm believer in meditation for my own experiences, but mainly because Madison, when she finally decided to go see her life coach that she mentioned earlier, mm-hmm. he was having her do a bunch of meditation. And I remember like seeing my best friend for 10 years before my eyes, like just the change in her. It was like night and day. And like, it's kind of just crazy. Not like there was anything wrong with you before, but I feel like she had emotion.
She wasn't perfect.
Well, it's like for the first time ever, I feel like you had emotion.
Yeah. And it unlocked that.
But like, not just in like a negative sense. I feel like you became more in tune with yourself, which kind of helped you heal. And I like saw what it did for you. Like you just like, it just made me, and I've meditated. I really struggle to meditate because I struggle to lay still for so long. But whenever I do, I'll like drop something, I'll catch it. And like oh,
I'm locked connected. In.
Yeah. I'm like locked in.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. I don't like meditating, but it absolutely changed my life. Mm-hmm. I was very emotionally irregulated for one, but two, very shut off. Not really, though. I just used drugs and alcohol as a way to not feel anything because I thought that not feeling anything was easier, better, and the right choice for me. I just thought that's who I was. I was strong. It didn't matter. Nothing mattered. I got fucking fucked up. I still get fucked up, but it's not so,
nearly as in the same way at all.
No, yeah. And I just, the people in my life kind of looked at me and like, we're not kids anymore. And you reach a point where you kind of have to grow the fuck up or people around you are not going to want to be around you anymore. Yeah. It's not cute to black out every time you go drink. And
God, we're the same person.
Oh, bad. Yeah. You said the grapefruit rose. I'm talking that vodka 3 days. I'd wake up and be like, where am I? Mm-hmm. And that was just my release. And I thought that that was normal. And then finally I was put with a coach who didn't force me to meditate, but it was a part of the program. It was either do it or don't do my program. I felt like a literal tidal wave, shock wave of release, of trauma, of sadness, of anger, of everything that I'd been holding on to, it left my body. And I have not been the same since that moment.
Yeah. I think something beautiful that's really beautiful. I think something that happens is, you know, we all have our consciousness or our soul self that exists at this frequency that's within us. We also have the human aspects of ourselves, our fear, our trauma, our grief, whatever it is. And we hold on to it so tightly because it's comfortable and because we've practiced it.
Yes.
The only reason why we hold on to those things, it's because it's what we've practiced.
It's what we know.
It's not that we can't tap into something else. It's just that we haven't practiced it enough. And so when we meditate and we release those things, we tune that little radio dial tuner to just a slightly different frequency. Even 30 seconds of that can be enough to start change in your life. So I'm so glad you had that experience.
Yeah, I'm very grateful and very lucky that the people around me loved me enough to push me towards that instead of just closing the door on me.
Yeah.
Because I don't know that I would have ever had the courage or the belief to do it for myself. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something that a lot of our listeners can take from this podcast. If you're going to take anything, even if you're a skeptic or, you know, whatever, you can change your life at any moment. You have free will and your life is yours to control. And all you have to do is believe and want better for yourself.
Mm-hmm. Mic drop once again. Well, I'm proud of both of you because you both, well, I know you, you're a rock star, but you're a rock star too.
It's just amazing. Like, yeah, to hear that you've gotten sober and have so much going for you and you inspire and change the lives of so many people.
And this has been just over like the last like 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
My life did not look like this.
Yeah. You look so before. Put together.
Yeah. Well, I'm so glad. Listen, I don't want to put on any ears. Like I have moments where like I get in my head. Or I, you know, I cry. I'll call one of my girlfriends, like, crying. Like, did you see what this person on the internet said about me? And she'll be like, fuck, where are they?
That
yeah, that's yeah, literally it. Which I think we all need.
Yes.
But the me now, so much more regulated.
Yeah.
You know? Seem so, I was going to say this, like, in the beginning, but there was never a good time. Like, your energy that you bring, it's so calming and positive. Like, I almost feel like, not like a rush. Like, I'm like I feel, but I was feeling like, energized by you being here in like a very, very positive, like I can't explain it, but like you have this very like bright aura to you.
Thanks.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of people with energy like mine, with just a lot of energy like mm-hmm. yours, and you're right where it's like, and sometimes we just don't know what to do with that.
Very.
And so I think sometimes that like the thing that we can do that is like drink or self-destruct mm-hmm. because it's like, I can't hold all of this.
It's too much.
That's what I mean with manifestation, being the person that can hold these things.
Yeah.
I can allow these things in my life now and not go on a bender.
Yeah.
You know?
Learn to accept it.
And absolutely. Work and that's such a good example of why I did what I did is because I just felt too much energy. I still do.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of the time. And I'm not sober or anything, but I've definitely learned to drink in a way that isn't self-destructive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I, you know, and I think that's what's important. I think that there's a lot of people like that. I just don't think we talk about that enough,
absolutely.
Right? There's so many people that are sensitive or experience things. And I hope that somebody that's listening that I even identifies with like a little bit, even if they're super skeptical, here's mm-hmm. a little bit of this like, well, hold on. Because we're all energy. We all feel we're supposed to. It's like the natural way mm-hmm. of being.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, you know, we don't really talk about energy management or how to let some of that go or how to clear your energy or, you know, any of those things, right? We just learn about Pythagorean theorem.
To suppress
and
it.
Yeah. We learn how to, we teach people how to suppress it, especially women.
Yeah.
You know, especially, you know, marginalized people, the queer community, like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah, absolutely.
And just... don't be sensitive. Don't feel things.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that's what is so beautiful about the world that we're in now is that a lot of that is shifting.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so I have a lot of hope, especially with a lot of just some of the research and studies that are being done of people who are starting to learn how to tap in and connect with what they know to be true deep within themselves.
I'm a believer that, yeah, like people can tap into that if they want to or believe that they can.
And the world is definitely becoming more understanding. Like my dad's parents, like if you cried, you're going to the outhouse and getting locked in there for 3 days. Like,
oh, Jesus. Yeah.
Well, and honestly, generational trauma is a thing because then they didn't let our parents feel. And then our parents had no idea how to emotionally regulate. And now they created a generation of, I don't know, I think our generation's figuring it out, but it's going to take some time.
Yeah. You know, it's a process for sure. But on the note about parents, it was funny. I was talking to my dad and my dad was recently diagnosed with cancer and
so
he's,
sorry.
Thank you. No, he's doing great. You know, he had a couple of successful surgeries. He's feeling good, but he called me, he was golfing and he called me like after he was golfing and he was like, something happened to me today on the golf course. And I was like, what? He lives in Alabama. We're from Ohio. He lives in Alabama. He's picked up an accent. And now when I talk about him, I have to do his accent.
I loved it.
But he goes, he was like, something happened to me today, son. And I was like, what happened, dad? And he was like, well, I was on the golf course and all of a sudden I just started crying. Out of nowhere. I'd never done that before, but you know what? It felt so good and I feel better.
Oh my God.
And I was like, dad.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Look at you.
Cry, dad.
You know, parents are so hard to raise.
No, but
they are. My mom sent me.
Seriously.
My mom sent me that. She's like, my mom never listens. Like, it's so hard raising
her. Hard raising your parents. Well, that's good for him. Like, his first emotional experience in his entire life. But
yeah.
We're happy for you.
First healthy one.
Yeah, for sure.
Another big topic on our podcast, and I think a lot of the reason why people will tune in, not just manifesting, but relationships comes up a lot on our podcast. Mm. And what advice would you give to somebody that was trying to manifest a relationship?
Or the right partner.
Yeah, the right partner.
Yeah, I think one of the things, just in a very general, broad sense, right? Because everybody's situation is very nuanced and special to them. But one of the things that I see happen the most with manifesting a partner is that we tend to have this laser focus of, okay, I've met this person and we went on this date and it was really great. And then we've just started like planning our whole life with them because we had that one great date or that one thing that was like really awesome, right? Yeah. Or they checked off a bunch of our boxes, right? So I think, you know, before we, if we back up just a second, getting really clear on like, what do I want to experience in a relationship? The emotion of it. I want to feel joy. I want to feel connection. I want to feel love. And then looking for evidence of that already in your life. A lot of the times the universe will bring us relationships like friendships or relationships that I say we don't have those like strong, we don't have that strong resistance that's already kind of in place. Like, for example, if you were with somebody, they cheated on you, you've kind of formed this idea that like everyone's going to cheat on me. You might have some resistance in a romantic partnership, but you may not have that with friendships. And so new friendships will start to show up. So I always say, look for the new connections or look for the new relationships that start popping up that maybe aren't romantic. Yeah. It's kind of like the universe getting you ready. I have this beautiful group of friends. There's seven of us. We're all gay. None of us have slept together except for the people in a couple. I know it's
good
rare.
Good for you. Seven friends.
But I was just out of a relationship. I was like begging for another one before even healing from the other one. Mm-hmm. And these wonderful men showed up in my life. And they've taught me more about love and being open than I've ever learned in a relationship.
Wow.
But that's what I needed to be able to soften into a relationship. Now I'm at a place in my life where I'm like, oh yeah, I can definitely bring in a relationship. Like, but before I couldn't. The other thing is that, you know, the other thing that's important to remember is to keep having fun, to keep just doing what feels good. And sometimes we try to get so far ahead, like, oh my God, I had this great date with this person. And then we're going to just plan another date. And then we're going to go on vacation together. And then, oh my God, then we're going to live together. It's a natural thing to get excited and to kind of go really far down the path. Mm-hmm. But we've got to stay right where we are and just keep doing the things that feel enjoyable with that person and having fun. We want to make it so serious, so fast. And I'm not saying don't have a desire to have a relationship or to have that connection, but keep having fun because that's the purpose that relationships are here to serve.
Yeah.
We're going to grow. We're going to have growth edges that we bump up against with someone in a relationship. It is going to happen.
Yeah.
There's going to be healing moments. But the biggest misstep that I see people take is they stop having fun very quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're like,
stop enjoying the present.
And they're like, you have to be this, 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 and this for me in order for me to feel safe or to feel secure.
To our future.
Yeah. And I saw this thing on, Instagram the other day, and it was like the biggest mistake we make is building an emotional home in someone else.
Absolutely.
And that's got to be within us.
Yeah.
And then that relationship or that partner that we're with, that can just be a place that feels joyful and fun and expansive.
Yeah. That's an add-on, not a need.
Yeah. And the second you need it or you put yourself in that place of lack, the relationship, you start fighting, arguing, things aren't fun anymore, or the relationship ends.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because we're no longer in a place where that kind of love can grow and expand. Wow.
Yeah. That is such good advice. I do think a lot of us sometimes either date for potential or are so focused on what we want that we don't enjoy what we have.
Yeah. My gosh. Like, and how much simpler is that? Mm. Am I enjoying this? Is this satisfying? Yes or no?
Am I happy right now?
Is this satisfying right now? Yes.
Yes.
Amazing. Keep doing it.
Yeah.
And then if you start to notice yourself kind of go forward into the future of like, what could this look like? There's a heaviness. Mm-hmm. That's not joyful and expansive. Now, if you can do it from a place of, oh my gosh, we're going to have so much fun and there's going to be all of this expansion and growth. And if it feels joyful, keep going and ride that train as long as you can. But the second it starts to feel daunting or there's anxiety to it, you've already put yourself in a place of resistance and you've already created a gap between you and what you want.
What about a situation where you're not being treated well or you're not having fun on a day-to-day, but you don't know how to walk away or you don't want to leave that relationship because you don't want to be alone. You built that emotional home.
Mm. got to take your power back.
Yeah.
And you have to take your power back and you have to start asking yourself, how can I see this differently? Or what's something that I can do to support myself in this moment? Because for some people, the answer may not be leaving.
Right.
I think that's, you know, we can sometimes cast out advice that's very general and broad of like, oh, you're not happy, just leave.
Leave.
You know, I think sometimes that's where it's important to get curious. Why am I not happy? What's going on with me? How can I support myself? A lot of times when we're in relationships and we've, you know, formed attachment, we're going to form attachment. It's damn near impossible to not form attachment as humans. It drives me crazy when people are like, just don't get attached.
It's okay.
Yeah, good.
You spend time with somebody, you're going to be attached.
Sweet. Yeah. It's going to happen. But how can I create that safety within myself and then check in with myself and ask myself, what do I need in this moment? A lot of folks get out of the practice of asking themselves, what do I need?
Yeah.
Because we've given and given and given until we don't have anything left. And then we don't have the energy really to pour back into ourselves.
Absolutely.
So, you know, leaving, like I was talking about earlier, oftentimes changing the physical circumstance is not the next logical step. Sometimes it's just what would just feel a little bit better than where I am right now.
Changing the frequency just a little bit.
Yes. And then those answers come. Maybe it is leaving. Maybe the relationship is over.
Yeah.
Maybe there's just some things or some growth edges coming up and it's really uncomfortable, mm-hmm. but it's necessary. There's a few things that I have where I say, you know, leave immediately. And that is always abuse. And that is always infidelity if that is a deal breaker for you.
Right.
Those are the things where I'm like, you've got to get the hell out. But if it's not those things, let's just say it's like, I'm not happy. I don't really know what's going on here. I don't really feel connected to my partner. Get curious.
Yeah.
Get curious with it.
It's really good advice.
Because then when it is time to leave, that's the thing. When it is time to leave, then you know it's the next logical step.
You know, right. Yeah.
And then there's none of this like, should I or shouldn't I have?
Yeah. Did I miss out? Did I make a mistake?
Yeah. But we'll always have that wondering if we're not in alignment with ourselves.
Yeah absolutely. Yeah.
Well, thank you for that little piece of advice. I'm sure our audience will love to hear
that. Listen, I think we make it far much more complicated than it needs to be.
It really is. Like, it's just, are you happy right now? If not, ask yourself why. And like, you know, don't put too much pressure on what the future looks like with the person you're with or how to change every bad thing about your partner or like your situation. Just try to take it within yourself and like one step at a time and see what comes through once you
do that.
Yeah. Breathe. I don't know where I was going with that.
Yeah, I think anytime that we kind of look to somebody else for our well-being, we're setting ourselves up for massive disappointment because humans are unpredictable at best.
At best. Moving on to probably the segment I've been most excited for.
Same.
I'm a little nervous. I think everyone's a little nervous. We have the privilege of Travis doing a live reading for us this evening.
You're so sweet.
It really is a privilege.
It's a privilege for sure.
Well, I'm so excited. So have either of you had readings before?
No.
Okay. So here's how I work. So like I said earlier, I see, I hear, and I feel. So when a spirit communicator is coming through, the first thing they'll do is they'll kind of start like making me feel this like little anxious feeling in my chest, which I'm feeling now.
Okay.
It's kind of their way of letting me know that they're here to talk and communicate. They'll share with me things like signs and symbols, sometimes names, how they passed. My job is just to share. Your job is to receive, and hopefully it makes sense. Since we've got both of you here and then a camera person, everybody in the room is up for grabs. But I do want to start with the mother figure that's departed first. You have your mother departed?
Yeah.
Okay. She's been like, I have to tell you. So I just want to share. I know nothing about you.
Yeah. No, you really don't.
She has been standing behind you this entire time. And I have to tell you, so she's very intrusive. And in the best of ways, she's very excited because she's been like here, like tapping me. And she's been like, and I want you to know, like I was at my hotel earlier and I was like, I'm talking to a mother today. Like I'll get like little bits
That's
and stuff.
Crazy.
So I just want you to know, first of all, that she's there. She's so proud of you. There's just a lot that she's just making me feel of like, there's so much there that she wishes that I could see or that I could be there for. And she's there. She loves this person that you're with. She just keeps calling them like a stand-up man, like just so honorable and such like integrity. But she's also this like really great kind of dry sense of humor. She was like, I will snap back across this realm and get him if I need to. You get a lot of your fire from her.
You should have met her. She was so abrasive. It wasn't even funny.
So, but she's wanting you to know she's the best part of me. Were you not able to say goodbye to her prior to her departure? So she's restricting my breathing. So when they restrict my breathing, it's just their way of letting me know my loved one was not able to say goodbye to me prior to my departure from this earth.
No, it wasn't.
And this was a sudden, unexpected departure. So please know that she's just, there's some accountability in the departure that she's letting me be aware of. So when they're aware, when they're making me aware of the accountability, it's just their way of saying, I had a little bit of a hand, or I'm aware that my actions led to my departure. You understand this? Yes. She wants you to know that she is at peace, that this is something that she has heard you say or ask, and this is her way of coming through to let you know that she is at peace.
That's all I've ever wanted to know, is I just feel so bad for her.
Was there a history of like substance abuse in here as well?
Yes.
So she is giving me my sign and symbol for substance abuse. So it's just the thing that she's letting me know for you of just, this is something that I struggled with when I was here in a physical body. She is not struggling with this now. Her soul has returned to that truest essence of love. I think there was something about her. She's like showing me like a rose with a lot of thorns around it. And it's just that I presented myself to the world as angry or bitey, but I was actually so gentle. Did she have a thing with animals?
She loved animals.
There's like this like thing with animals that she's showing me. It's like, you know, just this like, and animals loved her because they could see her gentle spirit. I think that was like one of the things where it's like, you know, gosh, sometimes mom's kind of bitey, but like, God, animals just like love her.
Every animal we ever had was rescued or adopted or from the street.
So please understand that this is just her way of just validating that her essence is here, and that's how, and we're having a conversation with her, but also just for you to let you know, I am not unwell anymore. And she's using the term unwell. I keep hearing this. It's like this, like we'd say like mom was sick. Like even she wasn't sick, but it was like this, mom was sick or mom has this sickness. And that's why she is the way that she is. She's free. She does not have that anymore. Did you share a name with her or just share the initials M with her?
I'm sorry.
So she's giving me an M name connected to her. I know that's you. You don't count because I know your name. Where is like the Mary or the Marie that's connected to her?
Mary was my grandmother who departed as well.
Okay, so she's just connecting the Mary that's over in spirit.
Yeah.
And then who is the Virgo? So that would be the birthday between 8/22 or 9/22. Okay, that's you. Yeah. Oh my God, I'm a Virgo
it's
too.
Me. I'm the Virgo.
That's why I like you. That's why I like you. Jesus. So it's just, she's giving me that. And then the other thing, and then who got married?
Well, I just got engaged. We're getting married this year.
Who in the family just got married?
My cousin Brittany just got married in October.
I just want to say, like, I was like, I'm there for the wedding is like what I keep hearing.
Of course she is.
So she's having a good time.
Of course she's going to go to the wedding.
So I just want to say there's that. The other thing is she's wanting to let you know, is there jewelry of hers that you have? Are there a couple of pieces that you have of hers, honey?
Mostly everything.
Okay. What's the necklace that we either had like repurposed or like redone? Like, did we put like something on like one of her chains, or did we take one of her necklaces and do something different with it? Like, she's showing me jewelry that we would have had like adjusted or shifted or changed.
The only thing that survived was her wedding ring, which was repurposed.
Okay. She's just showing me jewelry being repurposed.
Yeah.
So that's totally fine. I don't know if somebody's like thinking about putting this on a chain or if there's something on here.
It's the only thing that survived.
Okay. So I just want to talk about this ring being repurposed or this jewelry being repurposed. Okay. The other thing that I keep, the other thing, Does your sister have children? Mm-mm. Who has the two? Who's the female with the two children in the family? Two boys.
Female with two boys. I can't think off the top of my head.
Nope. She's so funny because she's very persistent. There's two. two younger men that she keeps talking about in the family. And then who's the T? Who's like the Tom or the Terrence? Who's the T name?
She had an ex-boyfriend named Tony.
Okay.
And he had two sons.
Okay, yeah. There it is. Because, like, that's who she's kind of, like, guiding me towards. I'm like, there's somebody with two kids that she's wanting me to talk about. Okay, there we go. Spirit takes me on a wild ride sometimes.
Sure.
Okay.
Tony was the person she was with the most recently before she departed. So.
Perfect. That would make sense as to why he's coming up. Okay, so she's, like, talking about, like, the two boys. And they feel younger. So, perfect. I don't know if he carries blame or if there is like some guilt that he is carrying just around her departure. But she's saying he needs to forgive himself.
Oh, sad.
You know, the other thing, and then who just got the new car?
My car is not that new. My car is like a couple years old.
No. She's showing me somebody. So she's showing somebody getting a new car, or there's this new vehicle in the family.
I mean, my friend Monica just got a new car like yesterday, but I don't know why she would be relevant.
No, that's okay. No. She's talking about, and I don't know. So here's what's crazy. Spirit will show me these things that just are happening in our life.
Yeah.
Just because she's like, talk about the nice new car. And I'm like, okay, great, mom.
It's funny because we were just talking about her car yesterday. I was like, that's a great car. I love
so
it.
Please know, it's mom's way of just letting you know I was in for the conversation about the new car. I know that sounds so bizarre and it's like, that's so random.
Yeah.
But our loved ones will give us these little things of just things that are happening here in our life.
That they were there.
That they were there, were present for. That we're around for. We're around for these conversations, these things that feel so arbitrary or simple of like, why would my mom care about that? Your mom cares about everything that you do.
So satisfying just to know that she's there and that she's at peace. I think the thing I've struggled with more than anything is just worrying that she never got any relief and that she never got to be herself and be happy again.
Who had the house flood? She's showing me like things flooded, or she's showing me things like damage from water damage.
I was conceived in a flood where they were flooded upstairs.
Oh my goodness. Okay. So she's talking about the flood. She's like, talk about the flood.
They were flooded up to the top floor for 3 days. And that's when I was conceived.
So please know, like, she's bringing through this flood just to validate even more for you that we're having this conversation. How would I know that?
Yeah, that's insane.
I couldn't Google that if I tried.
No, like, literally. So, it was like some of the worst flooding. It was crazy.
So please know that this is just her way of just letting you know, honey, literally I'm here. Shaking. Of course I'm here. She sends you yellow butterflies. You may not recognize that, but I want you to know she's the one that like keeps saying like the little yellow butterflies. So, and sometimes we don't see these things. And then later, well, here's what's going to happen. You're going to leave and see 100 million yellow butterflies. Okay. But she keeps showing me that. And then the other thing that she's just really wanting to convey to you, she's like, I'm going to be there for the wedding. I wouldn't miss that wedding for the world. But she's saying, don't use a horrible picture of me. I don't know what that means, but she's like, don't use a horrible picture of me is what she's saying.
She can't be serious. Because the picture I was going to put up, she looks like a wildcat in.
Okay, so I want you to know.
She doesn't want that one.
She knows. She's like, don't use a horrible picture
of me. Okay, I'll get a new one. Jeez, mom.
So if you've been like looking here, like maybe this is the one.
I literally already have it printed out.
Please understand. Like, you know, she knows.
Yeah.
They see these things. Like I said, they're just existing at a different frequency, but they can still see, hear, connect with. We just experience them in a different way. One of the other things that she's so proud of your healing. I want to just validate some things for you. You know, I know you said that you hadn't really felt, you know, signs, or you feel like, you know, like, I don't know where I'm looking. I don't know if you had a dream or if there was something that connected with dreams where it was like, oh my God, I thought mom was there. Was that mom? Just don't question when those things come up. If you feel it, even if it's just like a little sliver of a thought, like, yeah, absolutely.
It's there.
It's there. The other thing, and then who's just got the new house? And then where's what's with houses, or what's with the new house?
My dad is buying a new house, okay. Trying to sell his house.
So
right
just
now.
Understand, she's like just letting me know about just the new house. I have to tell you, she has this essence of just joy to her.
She always did.
She is just this amazing light. And there's a lot that you two have in common. She, you know, she's saying, Travis, I didn't know how to really care for myself. I didn't know how to do that. I wasn't taught that.
Yeah.
And so please know that now from where she is at peace and she's well. She's healthy again. But like not health as in we know health. Like health as in fully expansive and fully well.
I'm so grateful for that.
And she stands behind you all of the time.
Of course she does.
Did we, now I can't see any visible tattoos on you, but is there a connection with a tattoo in her?
Yeah, I have her name tattooed. Okay. So my whole ribs.
Okay. So I cannot see any tattoos on you. She is just making the connection with the tattoo for me again, just to validate the conversation that we are having here. I would have no way of seeing that you have a tattoo.
No, it's completely hidden.
So please know, she's like, I know about that tattoo.
Oh my
Travis.
God. Yeah, me and my sister, we got matching ones.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
And I'm not a tattoo person either, so.
Yeah. Please know that she's also looking out for your sister. I know that there might be, like, you know, some worries or some concerns, but she is looking out for sister. Is sister, like, seeing someone?
No.
Like, is there somebody that's off and on that's been coming through?
Yeah.
Okay. So she has opinions. Sorry, sister.
Oh, I'm so glad.
So just know, you know, that relationship is going to be what it's going to be. The best thing that you can do is just be there and support. Did somebody lose a baby? Is there a miscarriage?
Not that I know of.
So I have a soul of a baby that didn't make it over into this world. And that's okay if we don't know, if we can't validate or just not sure. But I do have a soul of a child that is just, it's there.
Wow.
So just, you know, just, you can check, just see, you know, if that connects with sister or if she knows anything about mom. But there is a soul of a child that didn't make it into this world that's there. The other thing that, you know, that, have you had trouble sleeping lately? What's going on with your sleep?
Literally just told me the other day that you've been sleeping like
I don't know. I just can't.
Okay. So, And you had this conversation with her?
Yeah, literally yesterday.
So please know that it's like mom's way of just, mom's spilling all your tea, honey.
I'm like, excuse me.
Mom is a gossip and I'm here for it. Oh, I'm kidding. I'm so no kidding.
Honestly, we love it. Such a gossip.
But it's all of the things that have happened in your life over the last couple of days or things that have unfolded that she's just wanting you to know, like, I'm here. You keep asking where I am. I'm here.
It's so reassuring.
Does that Fleetwood Mac song Landslide connect with you?
She literally would sing that song to me. She'd scream it in the car.
So
we would scream it all together.
So please know that she's giving me that song to deliver to you.
She just fucking loves that song.
It's a message that she is here and that she is with you and that she is at peace and she is well.
I could not be more grateful for the reassurance and the confirmation and the... There can't be any skepticism because how the fuck could you possibly know
that you were conceived in a flood
or any of it?
Yeah.
Any of it, you know, like it just to validate any of the viewers who may have any questions or concerns. My mother was an alcoholic and she committed suicide. Mm-hmm. So the accountability is from that, I'm sure. And there was no goodbye. There was nothing. She was just gone one day. And we never got to say goodbye.
Yeah.
And she was sick for the longest time, but she wasn't sick. She didn't have a cough or cancer. Mm-hmm. She was sick with something else and something that was so much deeper than that. And I knew it was because she didn't know how to take care of herself. No one ever taught her how to take care of herself. She was such a fire, such a light. To be in the room with her was to love her, to know her. She was so annoying and frustrating and crazy, but she was so fun and loving and just bountiful. And she was sick, and she just never got better. And I couldn't be more grateful to know that she doesn't have to suffer anymore, because that's what she did. She suffered, and it was so hard to watch. It was so hard to not be able to fix our relationship, never have the opportunity to bring it back, you know, because there was obviously a lot of struggle that came with a young teenage girl and an alcoholic mother and probably an alcoholic young teenage girl. Mm-hmm. So I'm shaking. I'm at a loss for words, honestly.
Please know that she is well and that she is with you, and that the love and the relationship that you have is eternal, and that can never be broken, not even by physical death. Please know that.
I cannot wait to be with her again. I know she's here, but I just want to and I'm excited to be able to be in tune with more signs, because I've always known, but I've always denied. Mm-hmm. And it's crazy that you say yellow butterfly, because it's like, I literally wanted to get a box of yellow butterflies and release them at my wedding. I don't know why I felt like that. This is a fucking weird thought. I wanted to get a box and release them. I don't know.
Our loved ones will communicate with us telepathically as well. They'll send us little things like that.
Yeah.
For us to just receive.
Yeah.
And I think the more that we lean into it and the more that we just accept it, say thank you so much, the more we see it, the more we recognize it.
Thank you so much for the opportunity, the privilege of knowing that she's not suffering anymore, because it's really been the only thing that I haven't been able to let go of. So,
well, please know that if nothing else, you know that she is at peace and she is well.
And that's honestly all I need to know.
Good.
Literally, look at my hand. Thank you so much for that gift. What a privilege. And I think if there's anybody out there that has been considering it, even if they don't believe in it, there is no harm that can come out of it. And I feel nothing but relief and gratitude and joy over that situation, even though it was quite overwhelming. I don't know if you guys noticed, I put my jacket on. I was shivering. I was shaking. I still feel in my chest a jittering. It feels like there's a bunch of bees in there or something. It's just a lot of energy. It's not unpleasant. It's just different. So thank you for that. And I really hope that anyone who's suffering with loss or misunderstanding or disconnect gets the opportunity to have the closure and the healing that you've given me.
I really appreciate that. And I think, even if this somebody is skeptical or unsure, if they've walked away from watching this with even just the littlest bit of curiosity of maybe there is something more than this physical experience, I've done my job.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And I know when we broke some of the things, or when we took a little break, that some of the things that you weren't able to connect, you were able to connect after taking some time to think.
Absolutely.
I think the thing that people forget about is when you're being hit with all of this information, you get what's called psychic amnesia, where you forget I've had people forget their own names when I've been doing live audience readings. So when I'm on tour, I read for live audiences.
Right.
And I have no idea who's in the audience. I don't have any access to ticket information or anything like that. And I'll be looking at someone. I'm like, who's Rebecca? And then they're like, no. And I'm like, mm-hmm. And then they're like, oh my God, that's my name. So the psychic amnesia thing is very real.
No, honestly, I totally felt that after we got off screen and just a couple of things that there's just so much energy that you're feeling, and it's it's hard to place it, but it's very validating. A lot of the things that were mentioned, that there is legitimately no fucking way that you could possibly know. So thank you for that validation.
Well, it was your loved one. I don't know any of it, and I still don't, but your loved one, your mom surely does know.
She's a spicy girl. She's always been a spicy girl.
Two peas in a pod. Yeah. You guys are.
Well, on that note, thank you so much for joining us tonight. It has been seriously such a joy. We've learned so much.
Yeah. Top podcast guests. It's going to be hard to top this, I think. Seriously. We want to talk quickly before we wrap. I know you have a book coming out soon. I want you to tell everyone what they can get from that. And you also have a tour coming up. So just like give us the tea. Tell us what's up.
Yes. So, well, first of all, the tour is already kicked off. It's called the Dead Serious Tour.
Okay.
Which is so funny. I mean, Dead Serious.
I get
like
it.
In a live event, I do live readings, but you know, it's very lighthearted. It's also fun. We tell a lot of jokes. We have a great time. Yeah. I'm going, you know, all across the country and getting to just kind of share messages with people's loved ones who have departed. Kind of in a similar way that we did here, which is so fun. And you know, I'm not a comedian.
You're funny,
but
though.
I'm gay and have trauma. Therefore, I'm funny.
You've had us giggling.
So, you know. And then the book that's coming out, it's called "Are You There, Spirit?" It's me, Travis.
And I love it.
That comes out at the end or beginning of November. I'm so excited for this book. This is like a you want to talk a manifestation come true. My mom sent me a manila envelope the week that me and my book agent were pitching this book. And she didn't know we were pitching because I don't really like to talk about things until they're done.
Right.
And so my mom sends me this manila envelope and she calls me and she's like, "Hey, I'm sending you something. I just think you need it. I don't know why." My mom is like so psychic. And she was like, "I'm sending you something. I don't know why you need it, but I just think you need it." It's this manila envelope and I open it up. It's a manuscript of a book that I wrote when I was 11.
You're kidding.
And on the cover is this sweet letter that says, "Hi, my name is Ty." That was my pen name that I wanted to go by.
Cute.
Ty Holp. Please publish my book. Thank you so much.
Oh,
and
wow.
And yeah, and we went into pitching for that book that week. And I met this amazing publishing company called Spiegel and Grouts, this group of just amazing badass women.
Love that.
And so, you know, they believed in this book and I spent 6 months writing it and like all kinds of life happened during that time. And I mean, I wrote on planes, I wrote in the hospital, my dad was having surgery with his cancer, I wrote on trips, I wrote in between tour stops. And so just to have something that I've poured myself out into, I'm really, really excited. And there's stories of readings, it's very vulnerable. I share a lot of my own growth in there because the one thing I don't want people to think is that I do have it all figured out. Yeah. Because I don't.
Right.
But, you know, sharing my growth with spirit. And so I'm really excited. So that'll be out in November. And all of that stuff can be found at my website, travisholp.com.
Well, we'll be your first customers.
Congratulations.
Send you copies.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Can you sign it?
Please.
Yes. Absolutely.
Congratulations. You deserve it. And
thank you.
Your work has really impacted a lot of people. So I think it's awesome that it's going to be more available.
Thanks.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for flying all the way out here to meet with little old
us. Yes, are you kidding me? I jumped on this opportunity. I'm a big believer in, you know, just, I know we talked a bit about manifestation, just if something is brought to me and I get that like full body, like yes, and I'm a Virgo, I know we talked about this, right?
Totally.
We love details.
Yes. Details.
If I'm a full body yes without the details, I'm in.
That's crazy.
I'm
it
all
was
in.
Erin. She was
my
like...
mom said, "Who's the Virgo?" I love that. What's divine intervention, right? Bad Therapy, episode 51. This was a spiritual one. This was a deep one.
This was a different one.
We hope you can handle it. That was rude.
This was a good one. Like, I feel spiritually rejuvenated after this.
Just know, moving forward, we are going to be focusing a lot more on special guests, learning, growth, education, and we're really excited about it. So,
and having a damn good time.
Hell yeah. Thanks for coming, Travis. Tune in next week for episode 52.
Bye.
Started, period.
So good.
That was...